stop.
What up, everybody? It's Lex and Stacy with the Threesome Podcast 57.
Yes.
And we're going to be having some fun today. Stacy's got a conspiracy theory for us. I think she averages like one a podcast. It's really good. And and I have some late-breaking news on a situation that'll be fun to discuss. By the time you hear this podcast, it'll be pretty much old news from over the weekend. But as we do,
say, it's not so late breaking when they hear it.
It's not so late breaking, but but the discussion about the news story itself is nice and fresh, so we can do it.
Yes.
And that's pretty much the way it works. So what do you want to do first? Do you want to give us your crazy Fox Mulder story here, or you want to move on with mine? What's it going to be?
Let's do mine because I'm selfish.
Okay. I like that reasoning.
As you know, we love conspiracy theories. Not that we necessarily believe them.
No, but we do love them. Makes the world go round.
Yes, we love hearing what other crazy nut jobs are thinking. It's fascinating. It's a nice little look into the psychopathy of the human existence.
So I know I know you go in search of these. So what do you got?
This one actually kind of fell in my lap. If you go to
Google, many things have.
If you go to Google and type in the date September 23rd, 2015, you will be blessed with literally Google page after page after page of all of these rapture sites stating that that is the date of the end of the world. It's okay. Coming in this fall.
Now you realize that end of the world date's been...
Keeps getting pushed back for like 3,000 years. Yes, I'm aware.
Okay.
This one is just, I've never seen so many websites mention it, I guess. Because usually it's like one little group, one little like culty area will be like, this is it. But it's not like everybody who's thinking that is all thinking the same thing.
So
and
this
kind of seems like it.
Isaac Newton.
What's happening?
I don't know exactly. I try to avoid the religious connotation of it. I will tell you that it's all rapture sites who are talking about it.
Yeah.
I know that there is a certain group of people who believe that we humans here on Earth were placed here as part of a prison system from the original inhabitants of Mars called the Ajiji. Yes. And the prison system of keeping us here is starting to fail. And they are kind of working to get this all... They're using it as a biblical thing, so that all the bad stuff can happen. So basically they can rebuild and keep us imprisoned here for another, 3,000 plus years.
Another prison system! Another prison system! That's a great fucking song. You heard it?
I don't think so.
System of a Down. Check it out sometime. It's good stuff. All right, so here's a video that talks about something. Let's see if it's the same thing. All right, let's see if I can turn it up here. All right.
Therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Most prophecy teachers simply add the two together to make 69 weeks without saying much about why it is 7 62 or 62. Well, this bothered Isaac Newton too. He explained the odd 7 weeks as the referring to the second coming after a future restoration of Israel, which had not yet occurred. Isaac Newton puts the first 7 in the future after the second rebuilding of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was reclaimed by Israel during the Six Days War in June of 1967.
All right, so they're going at this at a completely different thing here, but he's got the same date.
I know, but I think that so many people, I think that's why this is kind of, at least it seems that there's so many people paying attention to this one, is because it's not just strictly biblical. It's all these other little tidbits, like apparently one of Nostradamus's quatrains kind of points to the fall of this year. There's just that kind of stuff. All sorts of things are pointing. Then plus you've got like the conspiracy theory people who are looking at like what's happening with Jade Helm and looking at what's happening with the U.S. dollar.
What's happening and with Jade Helm?
I don't even know. Honestly, I have tried to avoid that. I think that people, a certain percentage of people, believe that Jade Helm is a way to all these military exercises, is a way to actually place the U.S. military throughout the United States, so that when whatever's happening on September 23rd happens, the military is already in place. There are people who believe that Walmart stores are set up, closed in a moment's notice, and the building can be used as like a FEMA center for that particular area. This is all like true stuff that people believe.
Oh, God.
I know. And you know, I know there are people who are sitting there watching like the news and poring over national news to see if there's any reports of like Walmart stores closing. Apparently there's allegedly like all these like in kind of remote places, so it's not super obvious, but all these like remote places, like the little FEMA camps are starting to be set up. You know, the little cubicles that people could live in and stuff.
Yeah.
There are those who believe that, you know, this is all part of like the UN getting involved. And, you know, then it goes with the whole, that's why, the police forces around the country are becoming more militarized. We're going to have martial law and all this kind of shit. It's just like nuts. And this one seems to be very, very far reaching, this conspiracy theory.
Why am I so away and null and void of all this stuff?
I think because you probably don't seek it out.
Could it be that I'm, in spite of some of my other behavior throughout my lifetime, usually in party situations with extracurricular activities, you know, like drugs and things like that, a rational person and think this is just going to go by to September 24th and 25th with no incident whatsoever, just like it always does?
I was going to say, history has shown that time keeps moving forward.
Yeah, history is showing that there's always history. So I'm betting on that.
Me too.
You crazy fucks who are going to batten down the hatches for this date once again. How many times do you have to get burned before you just fucking go to work that day like you're supposed to?
I know, that's the thing. You know, you get someone who gets so wrapped up in this and how it just kind of
consumes them.
Fucks over, their lives. You know, that guy who seemed completely rational and sane, who decides not to go to work his job of 20 years for the last 3 weeks because he's preparing for the end.
Yeah.
And when the end doesn't come, guess who doesn't have a job, you know?
Yeah. I'm gonna tell these people what I told my friend that had a girl that was too pretty for him. Shit ends, okay? It just comes to an end, and I expect you, when it does, to just move on to the next thing, whatever that is.
And I'm going to take that day off, Lex, because I'm scared and I don't want to die, and I'm going to bunker in, all right?
September 23rd.
Good. I'm putting in for
Mark
that
Mark it on your calendar.
Poop, poop. Mark.
All right, D. Well, I'll get. Well, Sarah will puss out too. You have to teach me how to do the satellite thing and all that. I'll just do it.
You know? Got you, man.
It'll just be me sitting here.
I'll leave you a couple of cans of spam and tuna up here for you too.
You know, Terry will probably go to Vancouver an extra day or something. You know, and you know, have some.
Yes, because nothing bad happens in Canada.
Nothing. Well, it doesn't. You know, and plus he found an outrageous sushi restaurant that you know he can afford. So. You know, he'll be fine when
the world
ends.
Gonna die, I guess having fish in your mouth is the way to go.
Yeah. as opposed to shrapnel. How's this supposed to go down anyway? Like, you know, F-10 tornadoes or something? What the fuck's going to happen?
Well, that's the other thing, too. You know, these people are watching, like, weather. They're watching earthquakes. You know, I personally have not looked into it, but according to some of these people, the earthquake activity in the world has been picking up lately.
It's been picking up big time, but they attribute fracking to a lot of that. Especially here.
Well, you know, again, if you're let's look at it from a conspiracy theorist's point of view. Could fracking, the whole point of fracking, be to speed this along so that it stays on schedule September 23rd?
No.
It's because, I'm just saying, look at it.
It's because they're money-hungry energy companies that want to fucking get rich and make their stockholders happy. No, they don't give a fuck about September 23rd. Unless that's the day the report comes out, then yeah, they care.
Oh, another one was that, I guess recently, and I have not looked this up to verify this. Folks, by all means, do your own fascinating research. But allegedly, the U.S. military, like all different branches, have been on a hiring tear of civilians for like maintenance jobs and stuff. And again, conspiracy theorists believe that all of these civilian maintenance people are being hired under the guise of that so that ultimately they can be used as FEMA workers when the big one hits or whatever happens on September 23rd.
No, you know why they're hiring civilians? Because they've abused hiring people and signing people up for the military, then treated them like shit after they've gone overseas and fought for their country and come home and they don't do anything for them and a jig is up and the news is out. So, yeah, they're probably paying people to do civilian jobs because they can't get people to sign up anymore.
See, I was actually, my first thought was, okay, that is a great way for the government to create jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't looking at anything evil. It was like, wow, is that possibly something nice the government's doing for us?
Could it be they're exercising some resources and at home instead of going abroad for something?
Now, I do know, and it's funny, then when something happens that kind of fits this whole thing, in Flint, Michigan, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, kind of going again with the whole Jade Helm thing, the military, I don't know which branch, but the military was conducting exercise stuff, practice in the city of Flint, and they blew up a building, except they forgot to mention to the people who live around the building that they were going to be blowing it up. Mm-hmm. So that was like the big deal because all of a sudden a building exploded and, you know, the military went, oops, sorry, that was our bad. We should have told you.
Yeah.
But again, why is the U.S. military running practice stuff in Flint, Michigan? You know what I mean? So I hate it when stuff kind of fits in with that.
Yeah, but, you know, what branch of the military? Is this Army Corps of Engineers? Is this, you know, somebody that, you know, does demolition for the military? I mean, come on.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah. It was just like, you know, and so the conspiracy theorists are saying you need to watch. You need to watch for all of this like weird, you know, different military activity taking place in parts of the country that you just don't normally see military activity. That's all part of Jade Helm and that's all part of the government getting the military in place so that, you know, it's easier, I guess, to have martial law.
Okay, well,
on September 23rd.
Let's just say this is all happening. Is this a bad plan? It isn't. It's kind of, if I was running things, that's kind of what I would do. It's like, we're going to need people in place to keep some order.
Right. You know, I guess also, too, not knowing what the big one is. Is it an earthquake? Is it a giant tornado? Is it God and his angels coming down from heaven and raining down brimstone? You know, or is it, you know, the Chinese are attacking us with Russia? You know, I don't know. And I don't think anyone seems to know what the event is. You know, the start of World War III begins on September 23rd. Who knows?
Or we just go to work and we come home and we watch. What is the 23rd? What day is that?
I don't know.
Is that a football day?
Let's see.
Oh, yeah, it's very important. I mean, that's...
September 23rd is a Wednesday.
Yeah, see, no football
hump
day.
Hump day.
They're not going to have
hump
it...
Hump day, not rapture
gonna,
day.
Not going to have it on a football day? Interesting. I mean, if you want to get people all in one place, you know, that's the way to do it.
Right.
Especially 3 weeks into the season when we all think our team still has a fucking chance.
Not that Lex has planned this out or anything, folks.
Yeah.
He's just musing, random ponderings and musings.
Maybe that's the rapture, you know, when the Jags go 0-3 again. Hey, look, the Jags are 0-3. As far as they're concerned, it's a rapture. Only one team that's gone 0-3 has gone to the playoffs in the last 30 years. So, goodbye. So
it's so nice that the Lions aren't the worst team anymore.
Yeah. They're not the best either, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, but considering that for like the last decade at least, you could pretty much just be assured that they were the worst team.
Yeah,
uplifting.
Ever since they've had Stafford, they've been pretty good. But, you know, they did have that one horrible year when a bunch of people got hurt and stuff. Were they like 0-16 or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think they did win a game because that was kind of the joke, if I recall, was that they couldn't even be the worst, the best.
The best to be in the worst. Couldn't be the best, worst team of all time.
Yes. They had to win that one stupid game.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny to see the Steelers now because up until the time I was, say, 14 years old, my dad in front of me just went into convulsions at Steelers games. They were horrible. Horrible. I mean, they could do nothing. And then from age 14 on, they've done nothing but win. So it can be done. You may finally get the combination you need where Detroit's not the laughing stock anymore. People start forgetting that they lost for years and years because the Steelers did. Steelers lost for 3 decades, you know, like the Lions, you know, until they got their shit together. But the reason why people don't remember it is because when they fixed it, they fixed it. You know, they had the greatest team of all time for 6 straight years, you know, so people just went, oh, fuck that other.
Well, that, and I think Americans tend to have, like, the attention span of a goldfish.
Well, yeah.
So it's really easy to remember or not remember what happened 3 years ago.
Sure. Look at LeBron, for example. Remember when he left Cleveland and went to Miami? Remember that?
Yes. The decision.
The decision, you know, and the fact that, you know, he pretty much just shit on his hometown as far as they were concerned. To me, it was just business. He was just doing the best for him like anybody else should do. But
he's no Gordie Howe.
No, but who is?
Gordie Howe.
That's why he's Gordie Howe. It's because he was just loyal to the end and didn't want money and just played his fucking ass off till he died. You know,
he's still alive.
You know, it's just, well, I mean, his career. You know,
unless you know something.
His career is what I'm talking about. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, LeBron's just being a player in today's environment. Everybody does what he did. It's just he was so fucking good and he was all they had. So it was like, you motherfucker. And that's why I hate Cleveland fans.
We won a championship since 1964. He fucking deserted us.
It's like, no, you fucking deserted him. He fucking played his ass off, got to the NBA Finals, and looked around and said, what has this team done to surround me with some players so we can push this all the way through? Because they got fucking abused by San Antonio, who didn't have a LeBron. They just had 4 or 5 really good players, and they just beat the fucking shit out of them. And
Barry Sanders with the Lions.
Exactly.
Kind of the same way.
Exactly.
You know? Except he stayed. He stuck around. He ended his life there.
He played 10 years, and showed no signs of slowing down. He just realized the Lions were never going to give him, you know, that the mountaintop, the surrounding players to go to the Super Bowl. He saw it. He decided to save his body. He had more yards than anybody else at the time in NFL history. His job was done as far as he could take it without asking for a trade to go somewhere where they had a fucking chance.
And that's what I'm saying, though. He didn't do that, and he very well could have.
Yeah, he could have. And I think they sold him a bill of goods. I've heard that rumor where, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to surround you with a great team, Barry. And, you know, they had some good teams while he was there. You know, there was the Eric Hipple years, you know, and stuff like that where they had a decent team. And then Scott Mitchell. And, you know, they had some, you know, I think didn't who else played there? God, what was that guy's name? They had two or three
Sims.
They had two or three pretty good quarterbacks during Barry Sanders' reign there, and some decent, you know, players and everything. But they really didn't go out of their way, the Fords, to surround the greatest running back in NFL history, which I still call him that, even though Emmitt Smith surpassed him. Emmitt Smith surpassed him because he was on the juggernaut Cowboys team in the early 90s, where, you know, that offensive line was probably the best that ever played. Barry,
his job was made easy.
Yeah, Barry. Yeah, between the two, if you would have given Barry Sanders the Cowboys line in those 3 years, Jesus Christ. It would have made Emmett's numbers dwarf.
Right.
You know, so yeah, he did his 10 years and was smart. He just went, yeah, I'm saving my body. I'm not going to be in a wheelchair when I'm 45 to be where I am now in 5 years.
Right.
Because, you know, that's your chance to get really hurt as a running back. As soon as you turn 30, you're pretty much just asking for it.
You become brittle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have been running, probably a running back, since you were in fifth grade, and all people have done is hit you. You don't hit them, they hit you for 20 years. At some point, your body says, fuck you.
Yes. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Adrian Peterson right now with the Vikings. He's 30. They should trade his ass. They should. As good as he is. He's such a badass. He probably could be good for the next 3 years. But, you know, he should be asking for a trade to somebody that has a chance to win a Super Bowl, because it's not going to be the Vikings. Not with the Packers in their division. Not with the Lions better. The Bears, they suck. But those other three teams in the division are good. Chance of them going to the Super Bowl is not so good. Cowboys are going to be good this year. You know, there's just too many.
I would just like to point out the rest of the country really can't stand the Cowboys. Just saying.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I fucking hate them.
Make fun of them when no one's listening.
I do it to their face. Because I have a chance to every day. The off-season antics this year, it just made me laugh. It's like, you have the best running back in football. You have this great offensive line, and you let that guy get away because you don't want to pay him $16 million as the best running back in football. $16 million. It's like, that's nothing for the best running back in football. And they just let him go. Not only do they let him go, he goes to their division rival. He's going to be running up their ass twice this year.
Well, good.
You know, and it's like, and all these guys on the sports radio here, there's three sports stations here. And you got the Rangers, who are two games out of first. You had the Stars that were vying, you know, and Mavericks that were vying for a playoff position and in the playoffs. And all these fucking stations try to do is out cowboy each other.
Right.
You know, in the dog days of late spring and early summer, where we're so far away from football, I mean, yeah, it's 3 months away, but it might as well be 3 years away. You know, there's nothing going on, zero right. going on. These motherfuckers sit around all day and talk about the Cowboys, the nuances, the stuff that even the biggest Cowboy fan in the world's got to be bored hearing. You know, so I am not a Cowboy fan. I root for their demise. For one, I'm a Steeler fan, so they've been our bitch all along. And two, I hate how everybody here acts like they just won recently. They haven't.
Right.
They really haven't dominated since those early 90s teams. That's 20 fucking years ago. Last Super Bowl they won is 20 years this year.
Wow. That doesn't seem that long ago, though.
It doesn't, but it is.
I know. Yeah, when you put it on paper and look and go, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, 20 people have won the Super Bowl since the Cowboys have. But people around here act like, you know, every year, I'm going to tape it for you. Every year, there's some dumb fuck here that says they're going all the way.
Well, good. You know, so probably you have that dumb fuck in every city, though.
No, you don't.
Except maybe Jacksonville.
Yeah, you don't have it in Jacksonville. You don't. You know, even in Pittsburgh, I don't remember hearing it. I remember people being very critical of the team as far as some off-season moves or people they had or whatever. They really don't do that in the Philadelphias and Pittsburghs and New Yorks of the world. They're probably overly critical, if anything. I would imagine right. That's the same way in Detroit and any Northeast city, really.
I think in Detroit, and I do not listen to sports radio, so, you know, this is just my uneducated female thing, but it just seems to me people are always, especially now that they're doing better and aren't the worst team ever, people are cautiously optimistic.
Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the team, obviously, front office-wise, coach-wise, everything else is better than it used to be. So there's nothing wrong with that. They got some great players. They got Megatron. They got Stafford. They let Sue get away, which I'm not too crazy about. I think he's the best player in the league. But
really?
Yeah. But
I think he wasn't worth the trouble, though.
Yeah, but they also drafted to replace him wisely. You know, they drafted two guys to fill those two tackle spots where he was dominant in one of them and the other guy wasn't so good. So probably the two guys they got will make the same impact that he and the other guy had. So they're all right there. And have gotten younger in the process, which you need to do on the D-line, I think, more than anywhere. So they're fine. I can see why people would be cautiously optimistic with them.
Yeah, and they're not overstepping. Like, they're going all the way. Woo! Yeah, you know, what you're hearing is they might have a chance at the playoffs.
Sure.
You know.
which is what the NFL wants. The NFL wants that 32-team parity where everybody is on equal footing. That when the season starts, yeah, you have your 2, 3, 4 teams that always seem to be in the mix, but everybody else has a chance. That's what they shoot for. That's why the salary cap set up like it is, and that's why they have certain things in place to make sure nobody gets a completely unfair advantage. But it also creates, guys who want to make shortcuts, like Belichick, who deflates footballs and you know, goes and videos people when he's not supposed to. But hey, if you're not, and the way they have it set up, if you're not doing things like that, you're not trying. You're not, right. You know, I respect.
It then turns into the, you know, what are you willing to do to make that paycheck? Are you going to do the ethical, moral, high ground thing? Or are you going to go for the jugular?
Yeah,
a dirty rat bastard.
I mean, the things he's doing are just minor competitive edge things that the sum total of God knows how many things he's thought of to make them better is pretty big if you look at the Patriots' success rate. You know, and
like, for instance, having like one of your players go screw the wife of like another coach.
Yes.
That would be truly devious, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. But that's not how he operates. He operates off of another team may do that. That sounds very more eagle-like than Patriot-like. But
Lex actually has personalities for each team.
Yeah, I have fuckover personalities for, you know, the Patriots are more analytical. Like this whole Deflategate thing that went on. Do you realize when you go back and look over, and there's evidence to suggest they've been doing this for a long time. When you go back and look over the last 10 years of the Patriots' fumble ratio compared to any other team, all the other teams are separated by minute percentage points. The Patriots hold on to the ball like 30% of the time more than any other team does. As far as turnovers go. Why?
Because they're used to Tom Brady's tiny, shriveled little balls.
No, right? They're used to having a underinflated ball in their hands that doesn't get knocked out as easy. That's easier to catch. That's easier to hold on to. That's easier not to fumble. 30%, Stacey.
Well, good for them. And I guess it's paid off.
And these dumb fucks on the radio, the same ones I was just telling you about, are like, well, maybe that's just good coaching. It's like, he's not holding
the ball. That's good deflating.
He's not holding the ball for them, motherfucker.
Come here. Let me show you.
Yeah, come here. Grant, let me show you.
Let's all hold.
Let's hold it like Jim Brown used to. Here. You fucking stupid idiots.
Well, since we're talking about sports, Lex, I have a little tidbit that means nothing about anything, but I retweeted it on the podcast account today.
Okay.
Kate Upton turned 15 2 days before Justin Verlander threw his first no-hitter.
And then 6 or 7 years later, he came all over.
Buckets.
Yeah.
Buckets of jizz.
Yeah.
From her shoulder blade down to pretty much her ass crack.
Oh God, it was crazy. It's like he hadn't been laid in, you know, since the last time he lost. You know? It's like, I'm not gonna come until I lose again. That's been 2 years. Yeah. I mean it looked like, you know, looked like she had an oil slick on her.
A pearly white one.
She had so much on her, BP apologized for it.
And Dawn started sending dish soap to the Verlander house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Save the birds. The birds.
Yeah. They're washing all the cum off the birds.
Somewhere there's a very dejected seagull going, well, this sucks.
This is so humiliating. Thank God my feathers are white.
The poor little baby sea otter.
Yeah, that was like one of the most humiliating pictures ever.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you not beat the fuck out of him for letting that get out?
Especially because he was geotagging all of his photos, which is how I think Deadspin was able to determine that they probably were very much real pictures from his account, because the geotagging on the photos all coincided with where the Tigers were playing.
Yeah. Yeah, she was like meeting them for, you know, in every town, and they were doing it. Are they still?
Last I knew, they're still together in some capacity.
Yeah. Man, time of your life, huh? You're like Justin Verlander, the best pitcher in baseball, and you're fucking the prettiest girl in the world with the best tits, best natural tits in the world. Yeah. And she like sponsors a video game. It's like, oh my God, the testosterone and all that is just...
Hence the copious amounts of cum.
Yes. I get it now.
That was the Game of War, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Clash of Clans. What is the name of the game? Clash of Clans?
I think it actually is Game of War. is what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the Game of War spooge.
Yeah.
It's like, you just made what? Blah.
You're the sponsor for Game of War? Blah. Yeah, yeah. I just took over your country.
Well, I took over well, your country.
Well, I'm half right.
She's like, yeah.
I've planted my flag.
Yeah. Thank you, Justin.
Bouncy, 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 bouncy.
And she, for a supermodel, doesn't do it for me all that much.
It's because you hate blondes right now.
No, I don't actually. but yeah, I may have for a little bit.
Lex's preferences are fickle.
I'm starting to find them attractive again.
Well, good.
Blondes
everywhere just went.
Yeah, blondes everywhere. Thanks, Viagra.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. It's so bad to be at an age where you just see your chick roll her eyes when you want some. Like, look, just fucking do it.
Please.
What is it? You know, well, I realize it takes longer now because I'm older, but that's good, right?
If it stays within the 15-minute window.
Yeah.
Of supreme primo lubrication.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck longer than that. I don't want to cuddle. I do like that about Lisa. She doesn't like to cuddle.
See, I've never been a cuddle person, like getting up and cradling up against his chest and, you know, his hairy, gross armpit and stuff.
Yeah.
But what I do like is after the fact, kind of laying there with your torsos apart, but maybe legs entwined in some way. Maybe kind of just reaching out so that fingers are touching someone else's arm. That's
yeah,
good.
I'll like reach across and have my hand on her waist or something like that or whatever the case. But she doesn't need that. She's not one of those. I wanna hold you.
I let you come inside me. Hold me.
She's cool like that.
Sounds like it.
I appreciate it. I let her know I appreciate it, too.
And that is what makes you a good person. That right there, above anything else, is what makes things good.
And she'll say stuff to me, you know, in her own apologetic way, which really isn't apologetic. It's more to make herself feel good, but that's okay.
And you appreciate that.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not really... She goes, I just want you to know I'm not really like a cuddler or like to sleep next to somebody. And, you know, she goes, I wouldn't care if we even slept in separate beds. We could like fucking go sleep in separate beds. I don't care. And I'm like, God, I love you.
See, that would be me saying, but we're going to fuck in your bed so that you get the wet spot and I get to go to the nice, clean, dry bed.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Like a baby.
I'll sleep in a wet spot. I don't care.
Good man.
Plus, you know, the fraction of time that we'll be doing missionary in the middle of the bed compared to other things is like so low. You know, you're basically going to be soaking down the perimeter, which what, my feet's going to touch it, whatever.
Years later, when you move out and the bed gets moved, there's that square.
Yeah, it looks like looks like a horseshoe, you know. Where I've just bent you over in different parts of the bed. My favorite conversation one day, she goes, you know, really, when you think about it, bending a chick over and fucking her from behind is disrespectful. Shut up. I started laughing. She goes, that was disrespectful. I went, exactly. The other thing doesn't look so bad now, does it? She goes, really, though? She goes, it's like, you can't look at us? I said, yeah. I said, you know what? You have a beautiful face. I love to look at it while we're doing it. But I also...
Love your shoulder blades.
Your shoulder blades and your ass are really fun to look at. I'm sorry. And if
you're the hottest shoulder blades I've ever seen.
Yeah, and if you're going with this thing where you don't want it to last too long, then you're going to have to trust me. She goes, oh, so my ass makes you come faster than my face does? I went, yes. I said, you're overthinking this. I'm not sitting there going, well, I better turn her over and face her so she, you know, respects herself afterward.
See, that's like, where the next time you just come all over her face and say, see, all better.
I mean, she'll let me do that, but it's, I don't have a need to do that.
That's not your thing? Because that is some guy's thing.
Yeah, it's not my
loving
thing.
Loving to just shellack a chick.
I don't, you know what my thing is? Coming.
Lex is not picky.
Yeah, that's the purpose right there. I can take it in a multitude of ways, which is why I've had a pretty happy sex life most of my life. It's like, you don't want any funny business. You just want to have sex, and I get, that's fine. I'm good with that. You know, as a matter of
fuck
fact.
Fuck serial killer night. Tonight's no funny business night.
That's right. Let's,
that's
the sexiest night of all. The kids are asleep. Let's do this. Good night,
funny
honey.
Business.
Yeah, some chicks think that's hot, you know? It's like. But everyone,
and if you time it just right, she can leave her long flannel nightie on. You just kind of hike it up to her waist a little bit. So when all done, boop, it goes back down.
Yeah.
You never even saw any of her lady bits.
Lisa's great because I can go from just standard. She'll go like, go ahead, take it. I'm not in the mood, but you can have some. To she'll let me just push the envelope and say awful things.
Is that what you call it? Oh, okay.
Say awful things and do awful things. Usually alcohol's involved when that happens, but who cares? She'll even say something like, if you want that kind of action tonight, you're going to have to go get me some wine.
And some
thinking it's gonna insult me. Instead, I'm like, okay. I get it.
Here's some Boone's Farm Orange Hurricane, because that's how much I'm going to respect you tonight.
I'm more appealing when you're fucked up. It's not the first time I've heard that. Won't be the last. None taken.
Yeah, it's a Boone's Farm kind of night.
Let me go put
the plastic sheets on the bed.
The reason I look like I do and have a sex life is because I'm uninsultable. I got friends of mine, dude friends of mine. It's like, I don't think my wife feels the same about me as she used to. She, you know, doesn't want to do the things we used to do. And I'm like, but she'll still do it? And he's like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, then shut the fuck up and do it. Who cares? You've been married. You've been with each other for what, 2.5 decades? I'm sick of you. I just had lunch with you, let alone her.
She probably lost her attraction to you when your balls disappeared.
She lost her attraction to you 75, 80 times. And so did you. At some point, you saw her do something because you just see each other too much, or you went, okay, that wasn't real attractive, you know. I can't call her a whore anymore and say bad things to her because, you know, she...
Because she just burst my triplets.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You know, where... I mean, every once in a while, I just want to pretend you're not my wife who mothered my kid. Is that okay? Is that such a bad thing? Okay, maybe it's bad that I'm pretending you're the babysitter, but that's fine.
Or I'm doing it at knife point in a sketchy alley with homeless people watching.
Yes. You stop looking at me or I'll kill you. Will you loan me $5? Shut up. So what if I want to act like the bridge of the Starship Enterprise is watching while I'm fucking you? Who cares? I mean, really, who cares? That's some great fucking, Captain. I believe you lasted 7.8 minutes longer than even we do on the planet Vulcan. Shut up, Spock. You're all lousy lays on Vulcan. Why do you think they call me Bones? Because I'm awesome. Settle down,
perfect
Bones.
Perfect amount of indignation in his voice. Yeah.
Settle down, Bones. This isn't about you. It's about me. I'm doing the fucking today. Captain, you'll need more power for your fucking. Thank you, Scotty. Make it happen.
Make it so.
Uhura. It's time for you to. Well, you know. Captain, I'm getting a signal from the Klingons. Yeah. Tell them no, because I'll be fucking you today.
Wait, let me see if I can do this.
As a matter of fact, put them on the comms so they can watch. Yes, Captain.
I love that. That's my favorite part.
Captain, I'm setting a course for Uhura's pussy. Thank you, Mr. Sulu. I expect to be in there soon. Yes, Captain. Put us into orbit, Mr. Scott. Captain, we have arrived at the planet Fuck.
Somewhere Gene Roddenberry's crying.
Sensors dictate. Sensors dictate that all they do on this planet is indeed fuck. Shut up, Spock. You wouldn't know a great fuck if you saw it. Well, Dr. McCoy, I'll have you know on the planet Vulcan, our fucking is amazing. Spock! What is that music? It's the Vulcan love music.
It's tribal.
Anyway.
I'm glad I got that to work. That's my ringtone.
Yeah, that's a fucking great ringtone. That's good porn music there.
Wow, wow.
Wow, wow.
Waka, 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 waka.
That Mark Ronson guitar rip.
Wow, wow. Waka, 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 waka.
Should have heard the argument I had with my daughter about Mark Ronson. She goes, I love that Uptown Funk song with Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson. She goes, that's such a cool guitar riff. It's like, yeah, Nile Rodgers called and said, can I have my riff back? She goes, what? And I went, it's not his, okay? It's a fucking disco riff from the 70s. Here, let me show you.
But congratulations on working Nile Rodgers into a conversation with your teen daughter.
Oh, it angered me. Like, you don't give him fucking credit for that. And she goes, well, he's the guy now. Now Rodgers isn't even around anymore. I'm like, bull fucking shit. Turn on Get Lucky, bitch. Just came out last year. Number one song, thank you. Bigger than this one, thank you. It's Nile Rodgers, the king of that riff. How dare you?
You and I were talking about this on the phone last night. There's a Netflix has a new series, a Netflix original called Sense 8. I've been reading terrible, terrible reviews. Like, people hate this show.
Oh, really?
And they think that it's Netflix's first, like, blunder. Now, I've watched all the whole season. I liked it. I'm a sci-fi person, though, so I don't know. I'm not going to tell people to watch it or not watch it. But later in the show, one of the characters goes home to Iceland to see her father. And he is this guy. I had to look him up. He's some Icelandic musician. He was actually, weirdly enough, born in Minnesota, but then his family moved to Iceland. Who does that? But they're there. He is this Icelandic musician, and he's fantastic. He plays piano at one of the episodes with a symphony, and he's amazing. He met her at the airport, and he's got a little ukulele, and he's playing, and he's singing Teenage Wasteland to her in the airport. And it was like, this man has
Bob O'Reilly, thank you.
Jesus. He was just like, you know, it's like amazing. He just oozes talent. If you've just watched the last couple
How
episodes,
old is he?
If you don't. I think he's like 59. I looked him up. He goes by the name KK, which I guess in Iceland is pronounced cow cow.
Is that a, what was that? What was the band that did Take On Me?
That was Aha.
Weren't they like Icelandic or something?
I thought they were from Norway.
Yeah, I thought they
but
were
it
like,
wasn't him. I didn't see any mention of Aha when I was reading about him on Wikipedia.
All right. Because they were like, just came out of nowhere, the one band that got signed out of like the Nordic region. It's like, what the fuck? What A&R guy decided to go on that quest?
I know.
You know, there's 700 people here in Los Angeles trying to sign the next Guns N' Roses. I think I'll go to Iceland.
It worked. Its song has lasted.
Yeah.
It won't go away.
Yeah, and then I guess he stayed over there and signed Europe. The final countdown. That's lived on also. Guy went over there and just made a killing on three bands. Probably saw them while he was, you know, the Scorpions' old road manager or something.
Hey, you know what? To this
Klaus
day,
Mine.
Zoo is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, that's a great song. But, you know, there was that whole Michael and Rudy Schenker thing going on over there that was kind of German, Switzerland, Nordic, you know. There's a few band. What was it? I'm trying to think of the one band that was from there. They did the song Awaken or something like that. How was their fucking name?
I don't know, because I'm just not mature enough to say Schenker without laughing.
I know. Yeah, remember Rudy was in Rudolf Schenker was in the Scorpions, and Michael Schenker was in UFO.
UFO.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Rock Bottom is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's a great riff. Later, it'll be stolen by Metallica and Ain't My Bitch. That's a fucking great riff. I'm sorry.
It's no Rock Candy, though.
Oh, God. I love Rock Candy.
Or Bad Motor Scooter.
You're my candy, baby. It's just horrible lyrics, but they're great. Yes. Hot, sweet, and sticky! Yeah, with the guitar going, wee, wee, you're my candy, baby! It's fucking great. That's one of the greatest albums of all time. I'm sorry.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, Space Station number 5 and Rock the Nation, Good Rockin' Tonight, Rock Candy. Fucking great album. That's why Sammy Hagar was able to leave on his own after that.
Right.
It's like, why
Which
am
is funny because I was of the age where I only knew Sammy Hagar, you as, know, as Van
a solo.
Halen. But be, well,
oh,
yeah.
Van
and
Halen,
then,
really?
Well, around that era, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I had the I can't drive 55,
yeah.
45, because I'm that old. But it wasn't until I started working in rock radio and classic rock and stuff that then I realized, oh, there's Montrose, which was before me, but I figured it out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Sammy's talent level is far beyond what people think it is. This guy can fucking sing as good as anybody. He fucking plays guitar like a motherfucker. The only reason he doesn't have the reputation for it is he ends up in a band with Montrose, who's like one of the best. Was one of the best. He's dead now, but he was considered at the time maybe the best out there, you know, with Jimmy Page and Blackmore and a few others. He was in that vein. He was that respected. So the band's named after him, but the you listen to that album, it's like all Sammy. He could have made that album himself. He didn't need Montrose for it. I think he did most of the writing on it, except for Good Rockin' Tonight, which is actually an older, like, 50s or early 60s song.
You know what song I recently added to my Google Play playlist? Just because I hadn't heard it in so long and I kind of missed it, was Billy Thorpe, Children of the Sun.
Yeah, I just took that one off. I had it on there. I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm sick of hearing this.
I've listened to it twice. I'm like, okay, I think I'm good. It might stay on for a while, you know, but
yeah, that's
it's one of those you will never hear on radio ever
again.
People
of the earth, can you hear me?
Children of the Sun, Children of the Sun.
On a magical night.
Ow, wow.
Yeah.
Ow, well.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool song. I'm on a humble pie kick right now.
30 days in the hole?
Like, I don't need no doctor. 30 days in the hole, hot and nasty, Stone Cold Fever, come on, everybody. Yeah, and I've just been listening to all that. I'm a sucker for blues-based British rock anyway. I just like it. Zeppelin, Humble Pie, stuff like that. Just love it.
The Yardbirds?
Nah, it's too old.
It can never be too old. I love 60s stuff.
Yeah, I get selective on that because I'm an audiophile, so I don't like shitty sounding recordings.
See, pretty much anything Eric Burdon at this point. Of course, House of the Rising Sun makes me so happy. That was one of my dad's favorite songs. And so that actually truly has, like, meaning because when he used to get his 45s out once in a while, you know, that would be one of the first songs that he would play. So I very much connect House of the Rising Sun to my father,
yeah,
which I don't know is appropriate or not, but I do.
There's some of these late 60s, early 70s songs. I would not change the production on them at all. You know, they just sound so pristine and unfucked with.
Well, see, for me, for instance, I don't mean any disrespect by this, so I hope no one takes it this way. But when I watch any kind of movie or documentary or see old news footage of Vietnam guys walking through the jungle, in my head, whether it's happening or not, Buffalo Springfield's playing.
Yeah.
I can thank Forrest Gump for that, yeah, but that is the walking through the jungles song, you know.
Yeah, I mean that whole movie had everything right. Oh. From a timestamp purpose. You know, like the Skynyrd and Freebird stuff and everything when she's doing the blow and all that. I'm just like, oh God, that's so true.
And is Robin Wright-Penn not just, like, the most beautiful woman that's ever lived?
Ah, she's superb. Still is. Even with the short yeah. hair and House of Cards, it's like, man, look at the legs on her. And
I know. She can wear a skirt and heels one's business.
Oh, God. She's sexy as hell. I'm all about it. So don't tell me I just like younger chicks. Not true.
I never said that.
Yeah.
I said you don't like blondes, but you said you're getting over that.
Yeah, I'd do her in a second.
Well, I'm sure she's very happy to know that.
And I don't want to just sleep with her. It's like I want to be seen with her, you know?
I want to disrespect her.
No, I don't want to disrespect her yet.
You know? Oh, so you'd let her face you. Wow, she is special, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd want to look into those baby blues before I did my thing.
And then you grunt out, Buttercup!
Princess Bride.
One of the greatest films ever made.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. All right, so we got to go, Stacey. Great podcast once again. We are all over the fucking place. Sports, music, everything else. Sci-fi, conspiracy theories, all kinds of things. But hey, that's the threesome podcast. Me, yes. Stacey, and you.
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 You are the glue that makes this podcast possible.
Just ask Justin Verlander.
And 15-year-old Kate Upton.
And on that, we are out. See ya.
Bye.